Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Show. So glad you can be with us for this particular program, this edition. And you know how the expression goes, I hate to tell you that I told you so? Well, however we phrase that, let me just remind you, those of you that have been listening, those of you that want to go back in time throughout the podcast directory, my archives, and you will be able to indeed fact check, verify that my prognostications were pretty accurate. They generally are. And I said that Biden would be the nominee for the Democrat nomination for the presidential race. And I said in both cases, there was seemingly an unlikelihood that Biden would be the nominee and that Kamala Harris is the pick by the Democrat Party. How much Biden had to do with it, who knows? She'll be the standard bearer, and it's official now. Well, I guess you'd have to say there may have to be some formalities at the Dem National Convention. But nevertheless, she is the VP pick. It's a lock. It's happening. Biden is a lock. It's happening. He is. Now, again, if there were, generally scandal doesn't do it, but let's just say there was an emergency health-related condition. But nevertheless, I said all along that somehow, some way, not because of Biden being this charismatic character or that he's the greatest debater, or that he has an unblemished record. I said that in many cases, when it comes to the Democrat nominee, and even the Republican nominee, with the exception of Trump, it's almost as though you're anointed based on your track record within the party, and that it's almost like the passing of the baton, and many instances, especially if you've been vice president. So, but you have to remember that Biden, he struggled in the debates, and there were times he was feisty, and of course he had been programmed in terms of his canned responses. But it was Kamala Harris, that had him on the ropes and gave him the best fight in the debates. And if you recall, that when it came to Kamala Harris was starting to gain some momentum, it was Tulsi Gabbard that decked her by going after her prosecutorial record. So it was kind of interesting, and her campaign was very short-lived. It was really after Tulsi Gabbard, although did not really score with the established progressive Dem Party, and she got more coverage on Fox News than she did any of the liberal progressive mainstream media. But nevertheless, I did predict somehow, some way, that it would be Biden and it would be Harris. And I was, well, obviously I was right. Now, I didn't have a crystal ball. I didn't read the tea leaves. It's just, I've been around a while, you know, and I just get a sense, and I see certain trends, and I do a certain amount of research, and maybe a little lucky, but I did call it, and it's happening, and it's real. I just felt that Biden was going to stick with the fact that it was going to be a woman of color, in particular of black, and that it had to be someone that wasn't too wacky, extreme, progressive. Now, I know that many of the listeners of this program would say she is, but she has a contradictory record, really, when you look at how she prosecuted so many nonviolent crimes as district attorney. She really went after people that had just minor possession charges as it related to pot, you know, marijuana. She is a barracuda. And what I mean by that, and it's not just because she's a woman, a man can be a barracuda. It's just that, you know, or a shark. going after career on her trajectory to bigger and better things, whether it was the attorney general position with, you know, the state of California. And then, of course, she became a United States senator representing the state of California. Now, I know that whether you listen to Savage, you listen to various other programs, you're going to get, especially those that spend a lot of time in California, or quite frankly, are doing a lot of research now, opposition research, that Kamala Harris was involved with the wheeler-dealer controller and the most powerful political individual in the state of California, and that was Willie Brown. Now, he was considered slick before Bill Clinton was called slick. And he, smooth talker, but yeah, dapper, slick, and, you know, he could make the right moves politically, and I guess obviously personally, but my understanding is that he was 60, she was 29. She got granted some really plush and prestigious positions because Willie Brown was the assembly speaker, meaning he controlled the House or the assembly, which, you know, same thing, in the state of California. And then later he was became the mayor of San Francisco. So she was basically, not only was she a lover, a partner, and I believe Willie Brown was married, but again, I'm going from memory here. I'm not stating it as 100% factual. I'm just kind of, you know, as time goes on, you know, I will reconfirm some of these things. But nevertheless, there was a personal and political relationship, and she benefited mightily. And Willie Brown, you know, kind of coached her, and he bestowed upon her not only so much political savvy and wisdom, but positions of power, and she profited greatly, not only politically, but also financially. So she is a woman that had her sights set on much bigger prizes, and she would use anybody and do anything to get there. And that's why she was a tough prosecutor, because she really wanted to make her mark, and she really, it didn't matter who she destroyed in the process. And then, you know, there were a lot of controversy. And so a lot of the progressive libs are not real pleased with Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris or, you know, hey, Kay Harris, with the positions that she has taken over the years, and that she's not a perfect progressive candidate. But I'm telling you that this woman is going to wreak havoc on the Trump campaign, because as you're well aware, and Trump's already started to, when you attack a woman and a woman of color the way Trump does, even if he, let's just say he kept to her record, but there's going to be, as we know, the nicknames, you know, already he's got a phony, Harris, but the words nasty and various other things are going to come up, these adjectives, these descriptors, you know, these nicknames. There's a lot of women out there, especially a lot of women of color, that are not going to take very kindly to this. So Trump really needs to be schooled on how to best go after Harris as it relates to her record and her hypocrisy and her flip-flops and being an opportunist and being someone that, what does she really believe? And what does she really stand for? We now know that she's not the greatest debater, and she doesn't fare well when she's under attack. But, like Obama, she's not as charismatic, but, you know, she has an attractive appeal, you know. I mean, visually, she'll be telegenic. She is smart. She is educated. The fact is that, especially in this racially divided strife nation, there's going to be a lot of people that it doesn't even matter about Biden, because they realize that he's getting up in age. They realize that Biden's going to be a puppet, and that Harris could actually have more power and could essentially take over as president or become president after a one-term Biden. Highly unlikely that if Biden were elected that he would serve two terms. Again, this is a great opportunity for people of color, she's progressive enough or not, it's the best they're going to get. And it's certainly better than, even though Warren was extremely progressive, but again, she's white, not Indian, not American, Native American. And she also was another person in that 70-plus class. And after the debacle with Hillary, this was a very shrewd move by Biden and the Democrat Party. And it is going to cause some difficulties, no matter what her baggage is. Every candidate's going to have a baggage. I think that it was politically a smart move on Biden's part and the Democrat Party. So more to come. Hold tight. Right back.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store. Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Report. So glad you are still with us. I did a little bit of fact-checking because I had mentioned that Kamala Harris was involved in an affair, a relationship with Willie Brown, which quite frankly was true, and the former mayor and the former assembly speaker in the state of California. He acknowledged this at the time that Harris was declaring for her run for the Democrat nomination for president. And so he addressed his letter to the San Francisco Chronicle because there were questions that came up about that relationship. And he said, yes, we dated. It was more than 20 years ago, according to Willie Brown. And he said he had been peppered with calls from the national media because they wanted to know more about that relationship. He acknowledged that he was married at the time when he was dating Kamala Harris. However, he said that he was estranged from his wife, so that's why he never kept the relationship secret. Brown had a succession of girlfriends and would go to a party with his wife on one arm and his girlfriend on the other. Well, I told you this guy, they considered him very slick. He was the original slick before Bill Clinton. But yeah, very smooth. I mean, he's even made appearances on Fox News. He's very charming, very dapper. You know, he was a wheeler dealer. I mean, he was a very powerful political figure. Not just an operative, but a political figure. Highly influential. I mean, contacts here, there, and everywhere. And that's why he was able to bestow upon Harris, you know, patronage positions, whether she was qualified or earned them or deserved them. He says here, Brown, and this is written, I mean, Brown was answering questions that he was peppered with in a letter to the San Francisco Chronicle. The USA Today also picked up on this. But he said, Brown appointed Harris to the California Unemployment Insurance Appeals Board and then to Medical Assistance Commission, positions that paid her more than $400,000 over 5 years, according to the San Francisco Weekly. Brown also gave Harris a BMW. And here's a quotation. "And I certainly helped with her first race for district attorney in San Francisco." And then Willie Brown went on to say, said, "Well, I have also helped the careers of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Governor Gavin Newsom," which he was also mayor of San Francisco, "Senator Dianne Feinstein," also a mayor of San Francisco, and a host of other politicians. So there you go. So I was correct that Willie Brown was married at the time, and there was quite the age disparity. I mean, 60 and 29, that's pretty dramatic. And I mentioned that as Obama was telegenic, she is too. She's not as charismatic as Obama. Obama is a big supporter of hers. I guarantee you that she's going to be working with some of the best speech coaches, some of the best people to prep her. I mean, she is an educated woman. She is articulate. I don't think that she comes off as being all that, as I mentioned, charismatic, like Obama. Now, Obama, he's much better with the teleprompter, but I can still recall that Harris really struggled in those debates. I mean, except for when she was, you know, very prepared and as a barracuda went in there and dissected Joe Biden. But then the same treatment, which I mentioned in the last segment, Tulsi Gabbard completely annihilated her. I mean, just eviscerated her. Just, she never recovered from that. So even though Tulsi Gabbard was successful in her attacks on Harris and really devastating her in the debates, I still felt all along, and if you're just tuning in, I did mention, and again, I'm not looking for the pat on the back, and even when Angeline was a contributing host and she thought Hillary was going to jump in, I said, Hillary will not be jumping into the race. Hillary could somehow become the nominee at the convention. No, she will not. Then there was even talk from her and others that, well, maybe Hillary will be the vice presidential nominee. And I said, no, that won't be happening. Even though Elizabeth Warren was really moving up in the ranks and really working closely with Biden in the recent times, in the last few months, I just knew that there was no way in heck that with the racial strife in this country, Black Lives Matter, and the promises that Biden made, I knew that it was going to be a woman of color. I knew that it would be a woman in background or in complexion. When you look at all the different candidates for the position, for the pick by Biden, I just felt that the others were just too radical, way, way, way too progressive. Although it might not have hurt him all that much, I just think it's even with her hypocrisy, even with opportunism and political patronage, and the fact that she would do anything and be anyone to get where she is today, I felt like, regardless of the baggage, and I mean, who has more baggage than Biden? Biden could fill up the railroad cars, Wilmington, Delaware to Washington, D.C. And I've also mentioned that before. But I just knew that of all the candidates, that she was the fit, even though, and remember, they saw the notes, and Biden was in his notes that he wasn't holding grudges. I knew it was a lock. I knew it was her. But I've said that all along. And so if you go back to prior episodes, podcast archives of mine, you'll see that no matter what was going on with Biden, I said somehow, some way, Biden's going to be the nominee. Even if they have to prop him up, even if they have to pull the strings, one way or another. And I felt like Obama really pushed for that. You know, and certain stars did align, although there were some strings being pulled from behind the scenes from the puppet masters that really, you know, made it possible for Biden to rebound. And of course, he had certain, Claiborne was one, and there was others that really pushed for Biden, really defended him in South Carolina. And yeah, there was some political gamesmanship and maneuvering that really did pay off for Biden. But also you have to remember, with this virus, Bernie Sanders was running out of steam, unlike when he ran against Hillary. But there was still the possibility, because Biden looked like he was down and out, that maybe there would have been a resurgence, or like the virus resurgence, that it will never know. Because based on the fact that there could be no more rallies, and like Trump, Bernie did bring out big crowds, and there would be no more debates, in-person debates, So essentially, when Biden got enough of a lead, the Democrat Party, I mean, there were some primaries that didn't even take place, or they took place at a later date, or there was a lot less people that went out and voted because they were told by the media that Biden was the presumptive nominee. And then Bernie realized, you know, maybe he could be one of those puppet masters that could program and pull the strings for Biden the puppet. And so he kind of got behind this. You know, I guess he saw the writing on the wall. Look at what happened to him against his campaign against Hillary. So the virus actually helped him. The lockdowns and the peddling of the pandemic. There's a lot of nicknames floating around. And I know that Savage was the first to come up with Hyde and Biden, which was a good one. Others have kind of stolen that. But yeah, you know, I had thought about Bunker Biden, Basement Biden, you know, bumbling Biden, which has nothing to do with, you know, him hiding out. You know, and I said that he was essentially succeeding and he could win by default without even engaging in this campaign because Trump has... Wherever Trump goes, there's conflict and chaos. And then he's under constant siege by the media. And then we have not only the lunatics, but we have the looters. We have the deranged and unhinged radical progressive left. And so it's going to be a real challenge for Trump. I mean, I know law and order will be something that will appeal to his base. The fact is that the protection of our history and our culture and our monuments and our statues and the cancel culture and cancel country and cancel history and whitewashing of anything white. I'm surprised that they haven't done anything about the White House yet. Also mentioned that before. But yeah, I think Trump just has to become much more strategic, and I think he's got to not fall prey to the trap of sounding sexist or racist in his nicknames and his tweets, because they're going to pounce on that and they're going to bait him. But I think Harris, with all the things I've mentioned and others are bringing up and digging up a lot more, I think she was the right pick, and I think it's going to cause, you know, some fits for the Trump campaign. And I think, as bad off as I think Biden is at times, I think it was a very politically adept and very shrewd move, and I think it may pay off. I think right now Biden has a slight edge. Some people think it's more than an edge, but only time will tell. But don't count Trump out for sure. More to come. Hold tight. Right back. You're tuned to the Tom Donahue Show. Tom Donahue Reports. TomDonahueReports.com.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show. Liberty loving and freedom fighting.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. So glad you are still with us. And I'm going to play a clip, which actually came from my show originally. Angeline was a contributing host at the time, still provides contributing reports, and she sent me a report, and I'm taking a clip from that, but I decided not to run the entire report, which is certainly at my discretion. The reason being is that we originally had debated whether Hillary would be the nominee, or, you know, would she finagle herself, manipulate in some way the possibility, because of her desperation and her deathly drive to be the president. And I said, absolutely, positively, no way is it happening. Now, in this report, this mini report she sent me, she was still pondering the possibilities and feeling, sensing strongly that somehow, some way, Hillary would still make her way back, and mentioned that a Fox News report, and there were some other news outlets that said that Hillary's making a comeback. Well, that's a comeback as a speaker being spotlighted at the Democrat National Convention happening this week. And of course, you bring back people that were prior nominees, that were past presidents, that people that are up-and-comers and risers in the party and contributors, etc. So she will be one of many featured speakers. And she's sort of like Pop Goes the Weasel. She retreats and then she rears her ugly head. And I'm not saying it as in looks, as the way Donald Trump would. It's just an expression. So what? Just like nasty is an expression. Refer to her as hellish Hillary. The hag is back, the hellish one. But it's only a speaking role. Now, she did say that she would be open to contributing in any way that Biden, if he became president and he had his administration, if she could be helpful and be called upon. So I do see that as a possibility. And she was, even though she and Obama fiercely fought, and Obama, of course, won out for the nomination back in 2007/8, it wouldn't be surprising for her to be playing some role. Could even be an ambassadorship, you know, could be a Secretary of State again, you never know. Whatever the case is, mark my words, again, Hillary Clinton, no way, no how, no matter what happens to Biden, no matter what would happen to Kamala Harris, there's zero possibility. It's incomprehensible to me to even think that there is any semblance of a scintilla of possibility that Hillary Clinton would make that kind of comeback. And just to remind you that she's just not very likable, and people were not in any way enthused. And even though the Democrat Party is uniting in a very strong way, only because it's opposition to Donald Trump, there's such an incredible hatred, and there's such an incredible yearning for the removal of Donald Trump as president of the United States. And so, because you do have Biden, who was picked by Obama as vice president, he did win the primaries and made a come-from-behind victory, and that he did pick a woman of color, and yes, she is considered black, but she's not African-American, which I thought, I really haven't heard that point raised. And another thing is, Warpath Warren, who fraudulently and flagrantly declared that she was Native American, at least in part. And of course we found out that that was a complete, utter, not only distortion, but it was a dreadful lie. But back to Kamala Harris, she is of Indian descent, not Native American Indian, and Jamaican. So she is a woman of color, she is black, but she is not African American. So I thought that was some more interesting point. So anyway, the clip you're going to hear is very, very short. It does, again, prove my point, which I'm glad that Angeline went back to the archives. I wasn't going to, because I knew that anybody that is a steady listener of this program, you know that I had predicted, I had prognosticated correctly usually I do, when it comes to political handicapping or prognostications, predictions, if you will. And I did early on say that somehow, some way, Biden would be the nominee. And then later, when we were looking at VP picks, I said that it would be Kamala Harris. So I was right on both counts. But anyway, she did what she went back into the archives, and she did acknowledge that I was certainly right. And again, it's not for me, it's not about whether I was right or my predictions, but it's just stating the facts that are in evidence. And quite frankly, I thought it was kind of reassuring. Yeah, I'm not one of those people that, I told you so, and hey, I'm so right about so many things. It's just that because right now we're in the peak of the political season, and we're embarking upon the election, and that it just so happened that I did predict, you know, the candidates correctly in terms of president, vice president, and, you know, in terms of the running mate to the nominee for the Democrat Party. So in this clip, you'll hear that further acknowledgement or confirmation. And then we'll go to a break. And I appreciate the fact that you guys continue to listen and support this program and our affiliates. So grateful to them. And also those of you that share this program, whether they're catching the live stream, the re-airing that occurs through TalkStream Live, or you download the podcast or listen to the podcast and share the podcast at TomDonahueReports.com. So here we go with the clip.
We have this exchange about who he thinks is going to end up being the nominee for the Democrat Party. And I say who I think it could be. So now let's listen in. Again, this is the Tom Donahue's program. And this would have been about the same time. It was when the debates were going on, because we talked again about the clown show. They can then bring out Biden and possibly Hillary Clinton and dragging her back out on stage. I said this early on.
No, I think they would go after Oprah before Hillary. They know Hillary lost. She'll lose again. She has no chance, and she's just unlikable and unrelatable. But I think it's going to be Biden, and I think Bernie.
Make them look like moderate, so they have these far left clowns.
Yeah, but Biden is likable to the Dems, and he's likable to some of the lunch bucket crew, and he could win Pennsylvania. You know, being right there in Delaware, and he's always, you know, doing things at the University of Pennsylvania and various other things within Philadelphia, and Ed Rendell, a beloved governor at one time here. So he's going to be a challenge, you know, even with his gaffes and all those kind of things. There's no chance. Hillary, the Clintons are done. You know, it's all legacy stuff now for them.
Okay, so let's now look at today. Where are we? Well, where we are is exactly what Tom said. Tom is right. That's where we sit today. He announced that he's picking Kamala Harris, and there's Biden front and center, right? Did Tom get this right? Well, yeah, he did. And I admit that. That's where we are today. He got this right.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Footnote to this week's program. 2 points. One, the Democrats officially nominate Biden as their Democrat standard bearer to challenge President Trump in the general election. So the Democrats made it official, further solidifying and proving out my prognostication, my prediction that Biden would be the last man standing and would be the nominee for the Democrat Party. So the DNC has made it official. It was televised. So that's that. Secondly, I want to make a point following up with Angeline's insistence and her gut feeling and her research and impressions that Hillary Clinton would reemerge in some way, some form or fashion. That has not happened. It will not happen. However, there is a point I want to make, a larger point, is that I believe, and we want to go into the conspiracy theory zone, that I cannot prove. But remember, Joe Biden sat out the 2016 election cycle. Now, yes, he was grieving for the loss of his son to brain cancer. And he did contemplate, and there was speculation that Biden would enter in the last innings to contest Sanders and Clinton, and he did not. I think there was, and this might not be politically correct, a gentleman's agreement between he and Hillary that he would not step on her toes. And I think, likewise, she decided, not only the fact that she's very unpopular, and there would have been major protestation from the other candidates in the 2020 Democrat demolition derby, that she would not re-enter the election cycle and compete with and contest Joe Biden. Something to think about. Well, it's official. Hillary Clinton at the DNC, her televised message was that she wholeheartedly and enthusiastically endorses the nominations Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, for president and vice president. Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Report. So glad you can be with us. I'm going to just start out by saying, well, not that I told you so, but I've been pretty good about political prognostications. And if you recall, first of all, I said Hillary was not going to be a candidate, was not going to enter the 2020 demolition derby. But moreover, I said, don't count Biden out. And I said that Joe Biden, in all likelihood, in the end, will be the competitor, the opponent for Donald Trump, that he would be the Democrat candidate for president for 2020. Now, I said, ideally, it would be kind of cool to have the capitalist versus the communist, because the stark contrast is just so self-evident. It was kind of interesting how Biden resurfaced. You know, he was a resurgent candidate, and there's reasons behind that. Joe Biden was, you know, about to collapse, you know, in every which way, form, and fashion. And then, of course, you know, he knew his base. He knew what could happen in South Carolina. He put everything he had on the line, and you know, he was all in. And of course, South Carolina delivered in a huge way, and that was having to do with blacks, the African American community, and Congress Claiborne and others that were supportive of him. So consequently, you know, the establishment said, okay, Biden can win. He is moderate. Even if we have to prop him up, you know, even if we have to limit his FaceTime, his airtime, you know, we can still work with him. You know, because remember, the puppeteers don't mind puppets. And they've had some dummies before, and, you know, others that were incapacitated, whether it be physically, nearly mentally. So it's not a big deal to them. You know, as long as you're a puppet and you are programmed and you perform accordingly, no big deal. Matter of fact, he's the ideal candidate because he's much more controllable. And we'll be talking about that too, and his ties to the new order, the new world order, the darker and deeper state, absolutely, positively. And I've got a major, major quote coming up here momentarily that some of you may have missed. And if you have missed this, it's quite consequential and substantial. And of course, it's right in my wheelhouse, and it's right, you know, it's staying in my lane. You never see those commercials or you see, you know, certain people who say, stay in your lane. Well, I'm in my lane, but I go beyond my lane too. So yeah, so there's so much more to get to in my analysis, as it relates to, you know, the un-American party basics, and the basics were, well, we got good old Joe. And so it was back to Biden. So Biden was the backup plan. There was no other plan, except for Bloomberg. They knew that, just like when Pat Buchanan ran and they tried to derail him, they did. They attempted that with, you know, the Republicans attempted that, later on with Trump, but failed. The Democrat establishment is doing the same with Bernie Sanders. You know, now he's got the memory lapses. He's got borderline senility. You've got his corporate connections. You have his criminal connections with Hunter and some of the schemes and scams that he's propagated and perpetrated, whether it be China, whether it be the Ukraine, etc. Again, he was the vice president for, you know, Barack Obama, and you know that's good enough. And he is a stalwart, and he offers stability, and he offers predictability. And so that's where the majority of the Democrat Party is now. But do I see Biden as a mortal threat, much more so than Bernie? Absolutely, because he's got a broader base. The establishment is behind him, that he could win some of those states that Trump was able to take away from Hillary. I think Biden, now that he has the support of the majority of Dem opponents, and that the establishment's behind him, the media has now gotten behind him. And I've always said this. I thought that Biden, no matter how many gaffes, no matter borderline senility, the fact that, well, he's losing his mind, okay, that he's losing, you know, his faculties. But he'll be programmed. It wouldn't surprise me if he's not shot up with stuff to keep him more alert, to keep him, you know, sort of like a Manchurian-type candidate, except, you know, most of these things that he'd be programmed with and support it with or by would be things he believes anyway. So the good old Joe could actually, you know, have a resurgence, a resurrection, politically speaking, and he did. So, wow. But it was something that I kind of predicted, not just kind of. I said that Joe Biden would be the opponent for Donald Trump, and I did say that Biden would be the last man standing. This is what Joe Biden had to say, that I actually heard this myself. I think that if you were listening to Biden's speech, you would have heard it too. It might not have thought about it all that much, because it happened, you know, sometimes you'll hear certain words and it'll just slip by you quickly. You know, these are the type of words that they don't slip by me, and they get noticed and they get repeated by me. So this happened to be that Breitbart decided to print this and also show the quote. And this is what it was. Joe Biden says that, quote unquote, restoring world order is American responsibility. Yeah. So former vice president and essentially going to be the nominee, barring something disastrous with his health or something disastrous within the party, are pointing towards Joe Biden being the Democrat national candidate. And it was from Philadelphia. And this is what really is unnerving to me, is he's at the National Constitution Center, which I've talked about. I've actually broadcasted from there a few years back, and quoting founding fathers. And he's talking about restoring world order. Now that's code for restoring the new world order or the dark world order. You know, it's the established order. It is the demonic dark order. It really is what we always refer to as the new world order. You know, so Joe Biden is letting them know, but he's doing it in one of the most sacred, one of the most historic, and one of the most significant sites within the United States, within the Keystone State here, within the great state of Pennsylvania, at the National Constitution Center. And he is saying that is the goal, is to restore the world order. Wow. That is probably something that is more important in this broadcast, more important for you to consider. Bernie Sanders just wants the communist order. And Bernie Sanders would at least to some degree challenge the Wall Street order and the financial order. But unfortunately, he wouldn't only be going after the ultra rich and the power elite, but he'd be going after everybody's money. And he'd want, you know, the communist redistribution. And the fact is that he would want government to be the order, not the corporate order, and the power brokers, power elites order. I have to say that And this is an interesting from the Gallup poll that was part of this article from Breitbart. They quote that 58% of Americans believe the U.S. rates very or somewhat favorably high in the world's eyes. So nearly 60% of Americans view this president and America in the present day as in a favorable light, they believe, regardless of criticisms and regardless of the media's onslaught of Donald Trump. And that means that this world order, this dark and devious and diabolical order, you know, the hidden hand, you know, the unseen hand, you know, the globalist, the internationalist, the new world order. And he wants to restore that because that means that you got to take Donald Trump and America first. And he's very critical of America first and what he believes that means. And he wants the restored world order. So that's what you've got with Biden. And the other thing that's quite ironic here is that, I know he'll pick a female, and he might even pick a female of color, but you got Bernie and you've got Biden, and they're both very old white men. And then you've got Donald Trump on the Republican conservative side, an older white guy. So speaking of political order, you know, people of color and youthful folks and the female order are on the outside looking in. Wow, wow, we. Okay, that's going to do it for this week. I want to thank a new affiliate, actually a returning affiliate in my backyard and even closer locally than once was, at least the studio, and that's WFYL 1180 AM radio station. It's serving the greater Philadelphia area, primarily suburban Philadelphia and parts of the metropolitan Philadelphia area. Officially, the location is designated Jeffersonville, as in Thomas Jefferson, like the ring of that, of course. And their motto for the station is working for your liberty. So I want to thank Al and Susan. I had a meet up with them not too long ago, and it went superbly well. And we may do some local things in terms of live and some interviews and special appearances and those kind of things. Beyond WFYL, Jeffersonville, Pennsylvania, studio located Abington, Jenkintown, do want to thank our strong, loyal affiliates, and that includes Red State Talk Radio, and also their sister companion digital station, Red State Encore, and of course, my good friend and contributor to the show, Angeline Marie, her digital online streaming station is K-Star Talk Radio Network. Great programming there. And I do want to thank the good folks at Liberty News Radio out of Utah in California. It's radio station KCAA Radio, AM and FM, is located in Southern California, Riverside, Loma Linda. And so we appreciate them. And of course, TalkStream Live worldwide, TalkStreamLive.com, TalkRight. And of course, our podcasts are freely available for download and listen. And you can go to my website, TomDonahueReports.com, TomDonahueReports.com. Till we meet again, have a great week. Stay healthy, stay safe. We certainly are looking out for your health and your well-being. Take good care.